that Rivka had, that by switching, switch Yaakov for Esav, that the bracha is going to chal on Yaakov. How does that work exactly? Why should she assume that that's going to work? Right? It's not you're handing over something to somebody. It's one thing if he that Yaakov is going to hand over the signet ring, right? The ring that's going to be the symbol of, or his staff. Something physical. So if you can pretend you're somebody else, and you can take it. I got the ring, right? You pretend you're Smeagol, or you pretend somebody, and you get the ring. Okay? And you get the ring. You pretend you're the, I don't remember the names. The Hobbit, it's some whatever. And you get the ring. Frodo.
And Sam.
Okay? And you get the ring. Right? But if you're talking about brachos here, isn't brachos go after kavanos? If his kavan is for Esav, the fact that Yaakov's standing here, or is pretending to be Esav, what does that help? He wants to give a bracha to Esav, so the bracha's going to chal on Esav. What's the habi mean if by switching him around, it's going to work for Yaakov? Okay? Again, the related questions is, how did Yitzchak miss Yaakov? How did Yitzchak think that Esav was the Bechir? Right, the whole parsha, many later mefarshim, like current contemporary mefarshim, talk about that Sefer Bereishis is the Sefer of Bechira, Sefer of choosing. That every generation, this one gets chosen and one not doesn't get chosen, right? And that's a story that follows with Yitzhak and Ishmael, Yaakov and Esav, and then Yaakov's children, Yosef, Yehuda, etc. Why would he assume? Why would Yitzchak? Okay, he lost his eyesight, but that's it. Eyesight is what led him to believe that Esav was deserving of the brachos. In Bechal, there's a question. There's big machlokas rishonim about the nature of the brachos. Is it our brachos blessings, or is it nevuah, or is it prophecy, which is a machlokas that it's not only nogeya to this parsha, but it's nogeya to the end of Sefer Bereishis, when Yaakov gives blessings to his sons, and also it's related to Zos HaBracha, and Moshe gives the brachos. What are the nature of these brachos b'cha? Okay, but I want to go through inside, in the text, and try to decipher, and go through some of the local questions. These are larger, more medic type questions, and go through the text, and through going through the text, develop a mahalich to try to answer these larger questions. Okay, so if you have a chumash, good idea, helpful. Chumash Rashi. Gideon Golko and the Central for providing me the English version. Okay? And these are the descendants of Isaac, son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. The Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holiness Yitzchak. Okay? The very interesting beginning to this parsha. The Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. These are the toldos of Yitzchak ben Avraham. Okay, toldos, as we know, has several different connotations. Okay, but we would expect, if these are the toldos, the descendants, as it's translated here very nicely by Art Scroll, if these are the descendants of Yitzchak ben Avraham, we wouldn't begin by saying, Avraham holidus Yitzchak. What does it mean, Avraham holidus Yitzchak? Eila toldos Yitzchak, Avraham holidus Yitzchak? Okay? So, you have here this first source. Everyone has these source sheets? The first source here, on the right side, is the Abarbanel. Okay, Abarbanel was famous before Shlach Rach had a song about him. And it was a medieval Perish lived in Spain, was actually very high up in the Spanish government. So look what he says here. Last week we spoke about the birth of the children of Keturah that was born to Abraham. But told us Yishmael b'no Gamkein. That's the end of the last part of Chayei Sarah. But told us Yishmael b'no Gamkein. Balas aper told us Yitzchak. Ba'nachon shemilas told us kolel leholadas habanim ulama'oro shir ulo. And really, generally, told us means one of two things: the children that are born to him, and the happenings that happen to him, right? The history, the stories that happen to him. L'chein amar Avram holidis Yitzchak. So why does it say Avram holidis Yitzchak? If it's telling us one of those two things, it doesn't make sense to say Avram holidis Yitzchak. To lahagid shebema'oro shekaru ye'oro li'Yitzchak nizdam el Avram. To tell us that everything that happens to Yitzchak, it's completely similar to what happened to Avram. And by this way, proving that Abraham begat Yitzchak. Because you're going to see that everything is similar. Whatever happened to Abraham happens to the son. Just like Abraham took a wife from his family, so did Yitzchak. If Abraham lakcha bibchoraso ben mem shana, both of them were 40 years old when they got married. They both were childless. Both had a bad first son and a good second son. Yitzchak Yeshev Oalim, Ken Yitzchak Olir Esav Yodei Tzayit Yishadev Acharkach Yaakov Yishtam Yeshev Oalim. Just like Yishmael was this wild man who was a warrior, a hunter, and Yitzchak was this pure learner. So was Yitzchak. Had Yitzchak had Esav, who was the Ish Yodei Tzayit Yishadev, and Yaakov Yishtam Yeshev Oalim. Avraham Ahavas Yishmael Akei Chesono Ken Yitzchak Ahavas Esav Avraham. As Esav, just like Avram loved Yishmael with all of his faults, so did Yitzchak love Esav. In Avram garash beisos Yishmael lo meritzono, just like Avram was forced to send away Yishmael, not from his will, but elam meritzon Hashem. Kain Yitzchak garash is Esav mibrichaso mirushaso meritzon Hashem. V'chule v'chule v'chule. Okay, so you see that all the things that happened to Abraham happened to Yitzchak. We see exactly the same thing. So this sort of sets the tone to the parsha here, that whatever happened to Abraham happened to Yitzchak. And we're going to see that this, the fact that Abraham, Yitzchak is the son of Abraham, is going to be a big hashpa in how he's influenced and how he sees the picture that's unfolding before him. Okay, let's look at source number. Well, next pasuk. Vayi Yitzchak ben arba'im shana bekachto es Rivka bas b'sual harami v'padan aram achos laban arami lo liisha. Yitzchak was 40 years old when he got married to Rivka bas b'sual harami v'padan aram achos laban harami lo liisha. So the medrash is the medrash which is in source 2. Right away jumps on the fact that there is a redundancy here in the pasuk. The word Aram, Arami, appears 3 times. Bas b'sual Arami mi Padan Aram. He was Arami from Padan Aram. Hey, wouldn't you know? Afot Lavan Harami lo liisha. Okay, this emphasis on Arami. Okay, so says the Medrash here in source number 2. It's on the top, actually, not the line. We'll get to the part that's underlined, but in my version, I give a So the part here that's underlined, not underlined. Mine is underlined. Amar Rav Yitzchak im lamed shehi me'aram na'raim halo kfar nemar mipadan aram. If you want to tell us it's just from Aram na'raim, we already said mipadan aram. So why do you say Arami, Arami, Arami three times? Matalon Arami, Bas Bisul Arami, Matalon Acholavan Arami. Ela Balul Lamecha, Avia Ramai, the Achia Ramai, the Anche Mekamake, Vatsadeket Hazu, Shehi. Can I read that word? Shehi. Yotza. That's the word. Yotza. Mi Benehem. L'mahidome l'shoshana ben hachofim. So even though she comes from a father who's a ramai, who's a cheat, who's a swindler, and her brother is a swindler, and her whole town is made of a swindler, still this tzaddikus comes out of it.
Same thing in last week's parsha, it says that also by, describes the family.
Correct. So she's compared to the shoshana ben hachofim. Shoshana, the rose amongst the thorns, okay, which is a quote from Shir HaShirim, Shoshana ben Achochim. She's a rose amongst thorns. Now, again, why was it so necessary to emphasize this point? So, Barbanel, Sforno, don't have it in front of you. Also, Rav Shimon Shafal Hirsch, they all say that they mention the father and the brother so you can understand from where Esav comes from. Where do you develop a child like Esav, which we're going to see, he's also another Ramai. It comes from her, it's in her DNA. Right? She's a tzaddikus for sure, but there's still in her makeup has this Ramaut. And so Esav develops from this. Now, I think what we can add also is that perhaps the pasuk is also trying to hint us about Rivka herself. Rivka was the tzaddikus, no question. But she also was from a family of Ramaim. In other words, this was the culture she's part of. her brother, sister, her brother, father, and everyone around her. And this whole parsha is filled with mirma. The whole parsha is about people fooling each other, right? Esav fools Yitzchak to think he's a tzaddik. Yaakov fools Esav to sell him, sets him up sort of, so to speak, to sell the Bechor. Yitzchak fools Avimelech in the parsha also. Rivka tricks Yaakov. Right, and then obviously the most obvious one is Yaakov fooling at the behest of his mother, fooling his father. But what does Rivka do? Rivka takes the midah of Rama'ut, this midah of tricking people, which the truth is, it's not bad, it's not good. Like many midot that we have, many character traits that we have, a person can be very shrewd is probably the best word for it. A shrewd person. Now, some people can use that, and most likely you take that mita of shrewdness and you can cheat people. You'll be very good in business. And we all probably met people like this. They're very shrewd, they're very business conscious, and they're able to be a great salesman. And sometimes you can use this mita that a lot of people are born with. I'm not going to talk about specific. I'm not going to say it, but I had a student that's from a certain community, and we're not taping these, are we?
No.
No, we should. It's a good shoot.
It is being taped.
It is being taped. Oh, it is. Okay, good. Anyways, so...
Thank you. My wife actually asked me to tape it.
So,
that's
anyways, I had a student who was from a certain community, and he's a great, great guy. And he, I remember he was like, he wanted to go into business while he was in yeshiva. And he wanted to start have a phone company here in Israel. And he was negotiating on the phone with this guy, like the head of this company. At the time, the company was called, I don't think it still exists anymore, it was Amigo.
These phones used to be have like, they were the phones that had like a walkie-talkie attached to it. At the time, it was like what?
Push.
But it was like thought to be a big deal. Obviously, it's not relevant at all anymore today. But at the time, it was like a technology, and he thought, okay, I'm going to get them. I'm going to sell to all the Shiva students. And he got these guys, like, on the phone, he was negotiating with them and got them to drop a price, like, unbelievably. I don't remember the exact numbers, but they went from, like, you know, $50 a month to $15 a month. And then he says, you know, because I'm like going, wow, that's unbelievable. That guy's unbelievable. He goes, okay, now we got you at $15 a month, now let's talk. Now let's talk about, you know, like, give me a real price now. He's like, what? That's unbelievable. That's crazy. And that's the negotiator. The people that are, like, born to be shrewd and great negotiators.
What are you
going
down to?
What? I was, like, going crazy. I had to walk out of the room. I was sweating. I was sweating already.
Hey, Ravi was a part of the deal.
No, it didn't happen. Anyways, but it was just an unbelievable, like, getting people down in price. But what did Rivka do? She took this midah, a rama'ut, which most people and all of her family and play, which she used it for bad. She used that for good. She did it to save the Jewish people, as we're going to just explain later on. Just like the Gemara says, sometimes it's mutter l'shaker. The Gemara says it's mutter to lie. At times it's mutter to lie. So too here. That even though she came from this family with these midos, she uses midah as tzedeket. She was a Shoshana ben Achochim in the sense like she took this with all the challenges of that midah and used it only for good. Okay. Later on here in this source, as based on the next pasuk, it says Vayatar Yitzhak LaHashem Nochach Ishto Ki Akara Hi Vayatar Lo Hashem Vatar Rivka Ishto. So this Yaakov davens opposite his wife, Rivka davens also, but Hashem listens to him. Hashem listens to his tefillos, and Rivka is born. There's a lot to talk about this for in a different context about why he was listened to and not. And not her. Rashi says, greater is the tefillah of a tzaddik than tzaddik. But I want to point you to this medrash here, which is what you have underlined in the second source here, the medrash Rabbah on the left side. It says, Omer Rabbanu Shalom, kol banim sha'atan otein li, yu min hatzadeket hazu. Afi amrakein, kol banim sha'at atid li tein li, yu min hatzadik hazeh. What was the tefillah that they were saying, that they were voicing? He was saying, let all my children be from this tzaddik. And she was saying, let all my children be from this tzaddik. This tzaddiket and this tzaddik. In other words, back to the Avram Holidus Yitzchak. Yitzchak was very influenced by his upbringing of Avram and Sarah. And he saw the damage that can happen from Avram marrying Hagar. Avram marrying Hagar brings Yishmael into the world. And the challenges that Yishmael being in his household and all the tensions that existed between, you know, even Avram and Sarah over Ishmael. So his tefillah was, let all my children come from her. Let me not have to go out and marry someone else. Let all my children come from her. Because he figured, if my children are going to come from me, son of Avram and Sarah, and come from Rivka, this tzaddikim, we're in the clear. All my children are going to be tzaddikim. How could it be otherwise? Look at this tzaddikus here. Right? Again, remember, who met Rivka in her natural habitat? Eliezer. Yitzhak never left Eretz Yisrael. Yitzhak never met Lavan and Pesuel. He doesn't know what Padan Aram is. He doesn't know what Rama'ut went on over there. All he sees is Rivka in the pure state that she is. So he thinks the answer to all the problems that could arise is if all my children come from Rivka. However, as the Torah describes in the next pasuk in Chafet, Vayisro Tzitzu Abanim B'Kirba V'Tomrim Kein Lamazeh Anochi V'Atelch L'Droshas Hashem. the children are already battling inside of her. She doesn't know yet that they're twins. She's not sure. She goes to seek advice, what exactly is going on inside of her. Rashi here quotes, right, the famous Medrash that you're all familiar with, that when she passed the base Medrash, Yaakov wanted to go out, passed the base of Avodah Zarah, Esav wanted to go out. But the next answer or shot in Rashi, a lot of people skip. Davar acher misrotitzim zeim ze umirivim benachlas shnei olamot. Quoting the Yalkut Shimoni, that they were battling inside, fighting over the Yerusha of two worlds, shnei olamot. What two worlds is it being referred to here?
This and the next.
Okay, this is really the key, this Yalkut Shimoni. It's good to see Yalkut Shimoni inside. He explains it in depth. But they're fighting over two worlds. So on the one hand, we see that Yitzchak Tfila is answered, that all of his children only come from Rivka. On the other hand, we see already, even in the womb, that the battle has already begun. And she's told by Shem Ve'ever, Vayomer Hashem la shnei goyim bivineich shnei lumim mimeich yiparedu ulaum milum yamatz ulaum milum yamatz urav yavot zair. She's already aware of this existential battle that's going to exist, you know, for all time. Two nations are going to come from your womb, right? One will always be battling the other. Rav Yavod Zair, the elder will serve the younger. She already knows what's going to be. But again, Yitzchak couldn't believe that out of Rivka, can anyone come that's not a tzaddik? Can anyone come that's not going to be, you know, how can, from this union? Again, Yitzchak also knowing the kavanas that he had at conception. Okay? As we've spoken about this before, that when a person has the right kavanos at conception, you all know what conception is, right? Conception is when husband and wife, it's none of your business. Right? And at that moment, it is crucial that you have the right kavanos, and Yitzchak certainly knew that he did. So how can Esav come from this? Skipping a few psukim to Chaf Zayin, Vaygdilu ha'ne'arim, Vayhi Esav ish yodeh tzayid, ish sadeh, v'Yakov ish toali, ish tam yoshev oali. They grow up, and Esav is this ish yodeh tzayid. Okay, which again literally means man who knows hunting. Ish sadeh, man of the field. Yaakov is ish tam. He's a tam. He's a tzmivistika person, wholesome. Yoshev olim, he dwells in the tents. However, Rashi says, Ish yodeh tzayid, latzud ularamot et aviv bifiv. He knows how to trap and fool his father with his mouth. V'sho'alo, and he asks him, Abba, heich ma'asrin es ha'melech ves ha'tevin, how do you take ma'aser from salt and from straw? Kisavur aviv shu medaktik b'mitzvos, and his father thought that he's being medaktik b'mitzvos. So the question is, what exactly, why does Rashi, what's the difficulty here in the pasuk? Remember we spoke about this. What's the difficulty here in the pasuk that Rashi is commenting here of Yodei Tzai? Yodei Tzai, it should be like the art scroll said. Art scroll is always right. It says, he knows, the man who knows hunting. Why is Rashi saying that it's that, no, what does Yodei Tzai mean? He knows how to trap his father. He knows how to fool his father, to trick his father. Why do you have to take it out of the simple meaning? What's the difficulty here in the pasuk?
Sorry?
He should have said he's good at hunting.
He's good at hunting?
Why?
Your
dad's
side is.
Based on the next class, possibly.
Yeah.
Could be that because he was like so young that like he wasn't at the physical stage to hunt yet. But
You're from New York. If you're from outside New York, the kids are hunting him. They're driving 15. Right? We say that they were 15 years old.
They're 15 years old this day.
What?
All farmland outside New York.
Exactly. So everyone's hunting. Everyone's driving. They're driving 9 years old, probably.
No.
Okay. So here. Look at this. This is Nechama Leibovitz. Okay.
Shit, a lot of
shout-outs. Okay. Esav Yaakov. Okay. Look at the way the pasuk goes.
This is terrible.
Okay. So is Esav? What does it say about Esav?
Ish Tzayin.
That's what it says. Ish Tzayin. What does it say?
Ish Yodea.
Ish.
Change the words
on me. Yodea aside. Okay, and then? Esav and Yaakov. Okay? What is Ish Sadeh and Yosheva Olim? What is that describing? What's that describing? What aspect of their... What? Occupation. Correct. This is the occupation. If this is the occupation... Okay? Can you read that? No one can see it, right? If this is occupation... Okay? So what is Isha Deatzai? The Pashup shot is he's a hunter. But already here he told us, here's where it tells what the occupation is. Here it's not telling you occupation. What is this describing? Not the occupation, but...
Who he is.
Exactly. Who are you? Their personality. His personality traits. Ish Tam is his personality. He is a wholesome person. He's a tummy. He's a tzmim sticker person. This is not a tzmim sticker person. He's the exact opposite. The exact opposite of tzmimus. Okay? That's clearly what Rashi, right? This is redundant. If this is occupation, why do you have to say it again? Ish sadeh, ish yodeh tzayid. Same thing. No, it's telling us, it's telling you they're both. Okay?
It's a joke from us.
Yeah, I got it.
Every class has.
Okay? Their ofi is the Hebrew word of saying their character. Okay? What is their makeup? A lot of times when people ask you, right, people ask you, you know, what do you do? What do you do? So most people give this answer. But the truth is, what do you do is really, who we are is not our occupation. We're not our occupation. We are who our character is. Okay? So that was difficulty in Rashi. If you look at the Ibn Ezra here, which is the next source,
How do you know Tom's a good thing?
It's the opposite of Mirma, right? The opposite of being very shrewd is Mirma. Now again, it's power. It's not necessarily good or bad.
Oh, really?
Right? A person could sometimes be a fool, right? He's too tmim. Sometimes a person who's too tmimistic is it's not good. There are times when being a Tom is not helpful. Right? At times being shrewd is helpful. And actually what's going to happen here, you're actually touching on where we're headed. Okay? And we might have to skip ahead because we're running out of time, but look at the Ibn Ezra here. Yodea Tzayid L'olam Mole Mirmot Ki rov hachayut b'derech mirma, rov hachayot b'derech mirma yitpesu. V'Yaakov hefech Esau kihu ish tam. In other words, what Ibn Ezra says, ish yodea tzayid, it means that the whole nature of hunting is trying to outsmart the fox, right? The animals who are also work b'derech mirma, right? If you ever watch those videos on National Geographic, right, how these animals catch each other, right? It's all stealth and trying to trick the animals, so too that's how you have to be if you're a hunter. So his occupation
influence his character. Okay, which is what often happens with people. Right? When you become, you go to law school, you go maybe as a tzmimistic person, and then in law school you learn you have to be very shrewd. I'm not trying to, my father's a lawyer, I'm not trying to knock lawyers aside, but sometimes the, your occupation can influence your personality.
Wasn't
yeah.
it already inside of him? So didn't his character influence his occupation?
So this is part of a larger question about free will and the context of this. It's a good question. We can, maybe I'll take it after we finish the shiur. Okay? Okay, next pasuk, very, very important, is Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayid befiv v'rivka ohevis es Yaakov. Again, if you look at the parallel, okay, if you break down and see how they match up, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayid befiv v'rivka ohevis es Yaakov. Okay? Well, if you contrast the two.
Rivka just loved Yaakov.
Oh, excellent. What's that called? Ava?
Unconditional
love. Exactly. Ava hatzli b'davar, Ava she'ein hatzli b'davar. Right? One was conditional love, one's unconditional love. Okay? Now, the Mefarshim here point out, look at the Sforno here. Okay? Sforno says, "Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav, gam es Esav." He didn't not love Yaakov. He also loved Esav. That's a chiddush. The chiddush is he also loved Esav. Of course, he loved Yaakov. "Ve'afal pi shiyada b'lisafik shelo haya shalem ki Yaakov," says Sforno. Even though he knows for sure he wasn't as complete, as whole as Yaakov was. However, Rivka oheves es Yaakov levado. Rivka only loves Yaakov. Bnei shehikira birish oshel Esav, because she saw the evil nature of Esav. How is it possible for a mother not to love her son? It's a good question. Okay, but she doesn't love Esav unconditionally. It's a good question. Okay, let's quickly just move to the selling of the Bechor. Okay? Because here, it's at this moment is where we really see the contrast between Yaakov and Esav in this transaction. Okay? Vayized Yaakov nazid vayavo Esav min hasadeh v'hu ayeif. Yaakov is making the soup, preparing the soup, and Esav comes from the sadeh, and he's tired. Rashi says what he says over here, and he came, he's tired because he had committed terrible averos. It's the day that Avram left the world. There's a lot, in the Pnimius HaTorah, there's a lot to talk about. I'm not going to do it now. Vayomer Esav al Yaakov, Haliteini namin hadom hadom hazeh ki ayef anochi al kein kira shmo edom. Okay? Haliteini namin hadom hazeh. Pour into me, says the Art Scroll. But the truth is, there's no Halitain is a word that you'll never find anywhere else in the Torah. Ein lo ach b'mikra, the Mefarshim say. There is no brother in the Torah at all. The only source Rashi quotes, the only other time we have this word Halitaini, as he explains, Eftach pi ushvoch harbe l'tocha. I'm going to open my mouth and pour into it. Hot soup. Open my mouth and just drop the hot soup in. Kimo sheshaninu, Ein ovsin esagamal ava malitin oso. Okay, the bottom source here on the left side here is a Mishnah in Shabbos in the 24th paragraph, last paragraph of Shabbos, Mishnah Gimel. Ein ovsin esagamal. Noagim lefatem esagamal lefnei hayitziyah lemidbar. It would fatten up the gamal. You have to give him a lot of food before he goes out to the desert. Hayin laachilo habei bevas achas. And what is haliteini? What is aval malitin? Ain't ovsin es gamal aval malitin. What is malitin? Nosnim es hamachal letoch pi v'hu bo'o me'alav. So you actually drop it into the mouth of the camel. Okay. You pour it right into the base hablia, into the throat. Okay, he wanted immediately, instant gratification, without any sense of any kind of manners, without a spoon, without anything. Just pour it in, man. Min hadom hadom hazeh, from this red, from this red stuff. Al kein krashim adom. He can't call it even soup. He can't call it what it really is. He just looks at the surface. Just on the superficial, give me that red stuff and pour it down my throat. Okay? Esav only looks at the surface. He doesn't, there's no depth in him. It's immediate. It's for the moment. He is a man of the moment, living just for the moment. He doesn't look at the ramifications of anything he may do. He doesn't look into the future. Hine anochi olech lamut. I'm going to die. What? Right? When Yaakov says, Salmi the Bechora, he says, V'yomer Yisav, hine anochi olech lamut. Lama zeh li Bechora. What do I need the Bechora for? I'm going to die. Right?
Kofar.
Okay. Yeah, it's Kofar. What do I care what's in the future? What do I care about the Bechora? Right now, I need to eat. Now, there's a very beautiful Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, on the next pasuk. Vayomer Yaakov, Hishavali Kayom, Vayishavalo, Vayimkores Becharosoli Yaakov. He says, swear to me Kayom, as this day. What is he throwing Kayom here? What is Kayom? Hishavali, you should just say. Just swear to me. What's Kayom? And it says later on, also Kayom. It says, Vayomer Yaakov, Mechra Kayom is Becharosoli. Sell me today, as this day, chayom, as this day, as b'chor eschali. V'yom Yaakov, hishavali kayom, it's kayom, kayom, kayom. Kayom, 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 kayom. What is this? What's the point of this day? Why the emphasis on the day? Today. He says the Pachad Yitzchak, says Rav Huttner, because the whole nature of Yaakov is future-oriented. Yaakov, his name is Yaakov. Esav is Asui. Esav is like done. He was well done. His past is the Iker. Right? And Yaakov is Yaakov, Lashon of right of the future. When you have a Yud before the late word, it means in the future. Yaakov, he will overcome. And since Yaakov's whole Shoresh is Ba'acharis Hayamim, in the future, in the end of days, so his the Stam Dibur of Yaakov means is future. So he had to emphasize Kayom because he has to point out Kayom. Otherwise, the Stam, when he talks, the default state of Yaakov is future tense. So he emphasizes Yom, Kayom, today, because the sale is happening now. It, had he not made that emphasis, Esav could say, oh, I was selling you a future. I was selling you futures, I wasn't selling you anything today. Okay, skipping just till Pesach Lamed Dalet. VaYaakov Natan LeEsav Lechem Nezira Adashim VaYochal VaYesh VaYaakov VaYelech VaYivez Esav Esav Bechora. So says you see here the Sforno. So Yaakov gives him the soup. He eats, and look at the quick the cadence of the pasuk. Vayochal, vayesht, vayakom, vayelech, vayives, Esav Esavachor. He ate, he drank, he got up and went, left. Vayives Esav spurned. I like that word. Spurned the bechor, the birthright. See, normally says the Sforno. Look at the Sforno here. It's after the Rashbam is the Sforno again. Vayivez Esav is Bechora. Gam achar ma'aseh haita Bechora be'enav bilti ru'uya la'oso ha'mechir shepasko. Even after the ma'aseh, you know, we often have this experience where before we do something physical, some type of physical pleasure, there's a lot of excitement that happens beforehand. But once you do it, like, oh, when I get, I'm going to get to, what's the goal? I'll get to Hello Teiman, I'm gonna have the eagle and the pargiot and the cider chips. right? And you're all excited, you can't wait to get there, you're hungry, you're starving, and you get there and you eat it, and then afterwards you go, oh, shouldn't have had it. Right? After you have that physical pleasure, there's always that sense of feeling like, nah, it wasn't worth it. I shouldn't do that again. I remind myself not to do that again. I couldn't even finish it. Right? There's a sense of it wasn't worth it. Whereas spiritually, when you do it something spiritual, usually there's not so much excitement leading up to it. The excitement comes after the fact, after you did it. What happens here? Vayives Esav Esav Echora, after the fact, even after he sold, he had the soup, he ate, he drank, he's done, he's full, he burped, and he still Vayives Esav Esav Echora, he still says, he feels at the end, oh, did I put one over? I put one over in Yaakov. What a loser. I got such a good meal from that. Even after the fact, there's no remorse. There's no aspect of charata. Because he doesn't see any value in the world of the eternal world, of Netzach. He puts no value to it. He thinks he got the better of the deal. I think I mentioned to you when I went to early admissions to Yeshiva University, and I had a roommate, and my roommate needed some money, so he offered to sell me his Olam Haba, $20. So I bought it. I bought it. He thought at the time that he got the better of the deal, and maybe he did at the time, but Hashem, he went to Israel. He's actually a guy who learns Daf Yomi, so Baruch Hashem was a good deal. Anyways,
and he get it by back to you?
No. Yeah, he can if he wants. It's not going to be $20, though. Okay, so the we're going to have to rush this here. Let's get to the Ikara Parsha, which is the actual understanding of what happened. You know, Yaakov gets two brachos from Yitzchak. Okay? And it's very important to look at the two brachos that he gets. The first bracha he gets masquerading as Esav, but he gets a second brachos. And it's very important, the chronology of events, right? Yaakov dresses up as Esav and he gets the bracha. Then Esav comes, Yaakov realizes the mistake, and he gives Esav a bracha. And then Yaakov comes and he gives him another bracha. Okay, you're all familiar with that. Look at the psukim. Okay, pasuk here, pasuk perek chav zayin, pasuk chav ches. Okay, this is the first bracha. He says, "Vayiten lecha Elokim." This is Yaakov getting the bracha from Yitzchak. Thinking he's Esav. Vayiten lecha Elokim mital hashamayim mishmanei haaretz verov dagan v'tirosh. And give to you, my God, of the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth and abundant and grain and wine. Yavducha amim v'yishtachavu lecha leumim havigvir la'achecha v'yishtachavu lecha b'nei imecha orecha arur v'recha baruch. Okay? Serve you will peoples and bow down to you, will kingdoms be a lord to your brothers and bow down to you, will the sons of your mother, those who curse you are cursed, and those who bless you are blessed. Okay, that's the bracha that Yaakov gets from Yitzchak, thinking he's Esav. Then, when Esav comes, and Yaakov realizes his mistake, he realizes that it's really Esav. Esav screams, and he gives him a blessing. What does he say? Vayan Yitzhak Vayom Neisav. Hey Gvir Samti Loch Bez Kol Echav Nasati Lo Lavidim Daram Et Hirosh Samachti V'lecha Yifo Ma Seben. I'm sorry. Right, Esav says, wrong pasuk. Esav says, only one bracha do you have? He says, no, I have another bracha for you. Vayan, pasuk lamed tet, vayan Yitzchak avi, vayom elav, hinei mishmanei haaretz yeh moshavecha, mitah shemayim ne'al, v'al chabecha techye, v'esachicha tabol, v'ayah kasher tarid uparak te'elav, ulo me'al tzavarecha. Okay? Indeed, the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling, and the dew of the heavens from above. By your sword shall you live, by your brother you shall serve. Yet it shall be that when you are validly aggrieved, you may cast off his yoke from upon your neck. Okay? Not such a great bracha. But when Vayishlach Yitzchak as Yaakov, he tells him to be right before he sends him away, he gives him a bracha. And he says to him as follows. Listen to the bracha. This is Perek Chafchet Pasuk Gimel. This is Yitzchak's bracha to Yaakov, the second bracha.
That's Marvin Ted. Okay. Which
Pasuk Perek Chafchet Pasuk Gimel. Ve'el Shaddai Yivarecho Scha V'yafrecha V'yarbecha V'hayiso Lekal Amin. And may Kel Shaddai Shakai bless you, make you fruitful and make you numerous, and may you become a congregation of peoples. V'yitein lecha es birkas Avraham lecha ulezaracha itach l'rishtecha es eretz megurecha asher nasan Elohim le'Avraham. May he grant you the blessing of Abraham to you, to your offspring, with you, and that you may possess the land of your sojourning that God gave to Avraham. In other words, the birkas Avraham, the bracha that Yitzchak got from Avraham, that he hands over to one child, was always supposed to go to Yaakov. If his intention was to give it to Esav, he should have given it to him the first time. He was giving a bracha to Esav. But that bracha wasn't this bracha. V'yitem lecha Elohim mital shemayim shemayim aretz. He gave a bracha of Gashmius. But never was it a spiritual blessing was Esav going to receive from Yitzchak. He gives Yaakov after Yaakov fooled him. This was the bracha that was always supposed to go to Yaakov. They have to understand that very clearly. Yitzchak never intended to give the bracha of Birkas Avraham, which is the Iker bracha, to Esav. It was always supposed to go to Yaakov. However, what he wanted to give was the bracha of Gashmius. I'm running now, but because it's already 9:10. The point is that understand that what was the machlokus here? The machlokus was as follows. Yitzchak understood who Yaakov was. He knew Yaakov was the Ish Tam Yisrael Elim. He knew Yaakov was the Tzadik. He was the Ish Shalem. But he thought Esav was also had redeeming value. Esav was the shrewd hunter. Esav was the Ish Sateh. Esav was a man of this world. What Yaakov's intention was, and this is all found in the Midrashim, Yaakov Shimoni and other places. Yitzchak's intention was that they should share Olam Hazeh, and by doing so they can share Olam Haba. That would be a Yisachar Zvulun type of relationship. That Esav would be the one who would go out to the field and he would earn the livelihood. He would work. Yaakov would sit and study Torah, be involved in only spiritual matters. And they would share each other's world. Esav would split whatever he earned, everything Olam Hazeh, he would give half of it to Yaakov. And Yaakov would split his spiritual blessings with Esav. And that's the way the world would work. You would have the Esav, which support Yaakov. However, Rivka saw that's not going to work. That in order for that to work, you have to have somebody who values what Yaakov is. You have to have someone who values Chaye Netzach. You have to have someone who knows what it means to study Torah in this world and wait for the reward in the next world. But if you can't wait for the reward, if your whole life is just instant gratification, so not only is he going to destroy his own world, he's going to destroy Yaakov's as well. If we give the blessing of materialism, of the bracha of Olam Hazeh to Esav, then Yaakov's going to have nothing. And then he won't be able to do what he needs to do. That's what Harifka saw it. Yaakov thought it has to be, I'm sorry, Yitzchak thought that this is a partnership that can work. But Rivka, growing up in the house of where she grew up in, knew what Lavan and Besuel were, knew what Padan Aram was, saw the qualities, the same qualities in Esav, and knowing that he doesn't value what needs to be valued. You have to value that more. And that's why Rivka had to act. So what did Rivka do? Really, Rivka thought that by switching them, that she's going to get the brachas will be chal on Yaakov. If the brachas were intended for Esav, the brachas are going to chal on Yaakov. That wasn't her intention. His intention was, by doing this masquerade, is to show, to prove. They obviously had these discussions. She obviously tried to convince, but she failed in convincing Yitzhak who Esav really was. He didn't see it. Couldn't see it. So what did she do? She dresses up, and this is Roshan Shufal Hirsch in this bottom piece. She dresses up Yaakov. Yaakov, you pretend to be Esav. And this is the message that she gives to her husband. If the Ish Tam, if the one who's so pure and so simple can pretend to be an Ish Yodei Tzayid, he can pretend to be the Ish Sadeh, he can pretend to be the hunter, he can pretend to be Esav and fool you. Don't you understand how easy it is for Esav to fool you, to think that he's like Yaakov? That was the point. That was the pshat, what she was trying to do. And that's what Yitzhak understood. He realized his mistake. He realized, I was fooled the whole time. She was right. I'm easily fooled into thinking that Esav was like Yaakov. And that's why his intention was never to give the bracha of Birkas Avraham to Esav. But then when he realized that Rivka was right, so he gives the blessing of this world. Alam Hazeh had to be given to Yaakov as well. Now the challenge, we have a greater challenge now. Now we have to be both. We have to be both earn a livelihood and to be the Ish Tam Yosheva Olim. We have to be the Ish Sadeh and the Yosheva Olim at the same time. Jewish people need to be both at the same time. It's a more challenging type of existence that we have. But that's the only way. We can't rely on anybody else. We can't rely on the nations of the world, even though that was the intention, the nations of the world. But only when the nations of the world can value Jewish people would that work. But Esav, Stone, and Yaakov, what can we do? Esav hates Yaakov. There's nothing that Esav wants to do than to destroy Yaakov. Esav doesn't want Yaakov to succeed. And that is the legacy that we have. And it's only through the great action of Rivka that we have some type of kiyum in this world, which allows us to have a kiyum and netzach in the next world. Have a great night.